Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I was told that my great-grandfather was not doing well, and he was placed on hospice. And so, wanting to see him one last time, I hopped in my car and drove down to Illinois. He wasn't in great shape, but we had a great conversation, and he was still able to talk. And as at the end of it, as I was about to leave, I'll never forget the last words that he said to me. Grasping my hand and giving it a tight squeeze, he said, "Keep up the good work." And those are words that I'll carry with me for the rest of my life. Last words spoken to us by a loved one are important, they're comforting, and they're encouraging to those who are left behind. It can be a simple, "I love you," or something like my grandfather spoke to me. But regardless of what they are, last words are timeless and unforgettable. They're something we carry with us for the rest of our lives. Last week, we heard our Lord's last words to his disciples. And today, we hear our Lord's last words to us, the church, in Revelation chapter 22. And like any last words, they are important, they are comforting, and they are encouraging. And Jesus even repeats them 3 times so we don't miss them. So Jesus starts off by saying in verse 7, "Behold." When you read the New Testament and see the word "behold," the author or speaker is telling you something important. They're in a sense saying, "Sit up straight and pay attention. Take note of what follows. What I'm going to say is important. Very, very important." And when you see it, slowly read and listen to what comes next. What important thing does Jesus want us to hear? "I am coming soon. I'm coming soon." When I went away to college, I remember my grandmother telling me, "These next few years of your life will go by quick." And I remember thinking when she told me that, "You're nuts. What are you talking about? High school and middle school seem to drag on for ages. College will be an eternity. How can this go by so fast?" But she was right, though. It did. It went quick, and in fact, it seems that time has not really slowed down since. As we get older, doesn't it seem like time just keeps going by faster and faster? Your first few years of working now seem like a blink. Your first few years of marriage can again seem like a blink. Your first few years of parenthood can go by like a blink. Your child is born, next they are crawling and walking and talking and practically out the door. Your first few years of retirement can seem ages ago. It's amazing to see how our perspective of time shifts as we get older. What used to seem like an eternity can seem like an instant or really fast. And from a human perspective, it seems like our Lord's second coming is taking an eternity that will never get here. It's like seeing time as a child. His coming seems slow and like it's dragging on and will never get here, at least in our lifetime. But Jesus says, "Soon, I'm coming soon." From a divine perspective, it's the exact opposite. It's like seeing and experiencing time as an adult. His coming is quick, imminent, and almost here. God is wrapping up his plan of salvation. To use our Lord's own words, "I am coming soon." He says, "Behold, this is important. I want you to know this." And so he says next, "Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." As you know, the book of Revelation contains many things. You have horsemen and beasts and plagues, bowls of wrath and war. There are angels, Armageddon and Antichrist. There are dragons, persecutions, and great evil. But Revelation is really not about those things. Verse 1 in chapter 1 tells us what it's all about. It says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ." First and foremost, Revelation is about Christ through his death, resurrection, ascension, which we celebrate today, and sending of His Spirit, God is completing and wrapping up His plan of salvation. In Revelation, we see how our ascended and victorious Lord makes full use of His divinity and authority. For you, His church, we see how He preserves His people in persecution. Now, He's going to come again in glory to put an end to all suffering and to undo sin's curse and creation's bonding. That's what Revelation is all about. That is what it all points to. As an old saying goes, don't miss the forest for the trees. And that can happen with the Revelation. We can look at things like Armageddon and angels and the bowls of wrath and miss the bigger picture, Christ. We are blessed when we keep these words by not trying to figure out what happens in the future, but by living faithfully to these words here in the now and seeing who they point to, Christ, and what He has done, save us. Jesus says, "Behold, I'm coming soon." His word is important. It's also comforting. And so John continues in our text by establishing the trustworthiness of this message and saying to not seal the book because it's being fulfilled as we speak. So Jesus says again, "Behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, the first and the last." He again says, this is important, listen up. I'm coming soon and bringing my recompense. Or a better translation would be, my reward with me to repay everyone what he has done. At first, that seems rather frightening. We know what we bring to the table in our relationship with God. Absolutely nothing. We know we are sinners who are prone to wander, rebel, and follow our own selfish desires and devices. We know that we could never pay the bill for our salvation, and if we were repaid for what we have done, well, we would be in big trouble, wouldn't we? Our acts of disobedience and lust and greed and anger and hatred and unfaithfulness would bring nothing good, an unpleasant reward. Before God, we're dirtied by sin, we're doomed and damned. But Jesus says, behold, I'm bringing my reward. He's bringing His reward, what He has won through His death and resurrection, eternal life, and gives it freely to you, His people. When the Bible talks about believers being rewarded, it never does so apart from the grace and work of the Spirit. We haven't earned this. Jesus has, by what He has done. In Him we are washed clean by His blood and forgiven. We will eat of the tree of life and enter into that heavenly Jerusalem. We're blessed and ready for His coming. Our robes are white and clean. Jesus says, behold, I'm coming soon and bringing my reward with me. What a word of comfort. We're ready to go. Last words are also encouraging, besides being comforting and important. And so Jesus stresses this, and so He authenticates this word by saying, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Jesus says, this book, this message comes from me. And what is the response to this? The Spirit and the church say, come. And what about you? What do you say to Christ's coming? What is your response to this? C.S. Lewis captures the humanity of this when he writes, the doctrine of the second coming teaches us we do not and cannot know when the world drama will end. The curtain can be brought down at any second, perhaps at the end of this paragraph. And the son, this is incredibly frustrating. So many things would be interrupted. Perhaps you were going to get married next month, or going to get a raise next week, or on the verge of a great discovery or maturing great social and political reform. Surely no good and wise God would be unreasonable to cut all of this short. Not now, of all moments, but he would. He would, because what he has planned is so great, his salvation is so wondrous. We might prefer it to be delayed to experience some human activities, but listen to what is in store. The beginning of our chapter gives a wonderful description. It's a return to paradise, no more curse of sin and its effects. St. Beatty, who wrote our sermon hymn, wonderfully says, "What can be happier than that life? Where there is no fear of poverty, no weakness of disease, where none can hurt, none can be angry, none can envy, and none can be impure, where none can be tormented with the desire of power or of honor. No fear there of the devil, no snares of evil spirits, no terror of hell, no death of body or soul, but a life blessed in the gift of immortality with peace and joy." Doesn't that sound wonderful? Doesn't that sound better than anything we can experience here and what we might be waiting for? We have great things in store. And so as we wait for this, our Lord reminds us, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." That looks ahead to Pentecost. We're not alone. As we wait, he's with us by his Spirit, his Word, and comes to us in his supper and in our baptism, sustaining and keeping us for that day. And all this leads to his final word. He says in verse 20, "Surely I am coming soon." He doesn't say "behold" anymore, but "surely." Jesus is coming. This is a word of promise, and Jesus never breaks his word. He always keeps them. He says, "Surely I'm coming soon. I am, I really am, I'm on my way." And what is our response to this? What is your response? How about verse 20? "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen." And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who is coming again. Amen.